question. If you want to ask a question, Lorena, right back here at the back in the pink, will have cards, and you can jot down those questions and hand them either to Lorinda, who is helper number one, or Mickey over here by the wall, and he will also pick up questions. Our timekeeper is Rachel Navarro, right here in the front, and I'm going to read the protocols now. We have about 45 minutes for our entire forum. It's quite a long time if you're the one on these two chairs, but not very much time for us because we'll probably be thinking of even more questions as the evening goes by. But as I said, written questions only. We have pencils and cards over there. What have I left out? The way the forum itself will be conducted. We'll have the timekeeper. Each of the speakers will get a 20-second warning, and then we'll signal to end their time. Each person will have 2 minutes to answer the question. If a rebuttal is warranted, we'll have 30 seconds for a rebuttal for the other person to speak, obviously, other than the person who was asked the original question. Jamie Jameson, the secretary of the Pearl District Association, is going to serve as the moderator of the event tonight. The only alien we have among us. So
I am legal. I am legal. I want you to know that.
Yes. You know, before I go any farther, I also want to recognize Darren Warlett from the city of Tulsa. He's one of our big heroes. He hates to be pointed out, so I wanted to be sure and point him out. The moderator may follow up on a question for purposes of clarification. I think I've gone over everything else that we're going to do tonight as far as protocols. Does anybody have any questions?
About protocol, maybe.
Yes, about the protocol. Yes, about protocol. Since this is our party, we want to indoctrinate everyone in here who's ever been to a Pearl District meeting by just sharing with you the mission of the Pearl District and also talking about our goals, because as much as I know there are other issues that will come up tonight, the conservation ordinance being one of them perhaps, and we want to talk about that, but we want to give most of our attention to the Pearl District Association goals. Our mission up here, if you want to follow along, and I'm going to flip these lights so I can see well, to reinvent the art of city life in Tulsa, to develop from the grassroots an urban neighborhood that is diverse, intriguing, and charming, that adapts to the new realities of the 21st century and achieves the character, humanity, and convenience of the best traditional city, that offers a radical and attractive alternative to suburban living, where it is possible to work, play, and shop without recourse to a car, where neighbors work to foster good schools and safe, attractive streets and civic spaces, and where a vibrant civic environment is matched by enlightened public policies. And to achieve all of this before it is too late. This mission statement has served us so well. It directs everything we do. And it has served us well for years now, so we're very proud of it. Our 2008 goals that the association has voted on, we will keep paring these down and prioritizing them, but basically it is about urban design, to design and secure funding for our Elm Creek Basin Plan, known as the 6th Street Infill Plan, that includes flood mitigation. Number two, neighborhood improvement to improve public safety and enhance the public realm, to implement and develop a code enforcement plan, to implement Neighborhood Cleanup Weekends to be accepted as Tulsa's next Main Street program recipient, to complete the Peoria streetscaping project, to implement the Utica Avenue improvement plan, to support the 7th Street green space, and moving on now to land use policies, to implement form-based codes for the Pearl District. We will be the pilot program for all of Tulsa in instituting form-based codes in 2008. To transfer the Laura Dester property, which is 4.4 acres in the heart of our residential area, over to, from state ownership over to the Tulsa, to the TDA, Tulsa Development Authority, which will then be putting that out, hopefully, for proposals to redevelop that property into primarily residential, but some mixed use. And finally, membership, to expand our own membership and increase the participation and financial resources to achieve our goals. I want to thank you all again very much for being here. I certainly appreciate the nice attendance here, and I'm going to turn it over now to Jamie Jameson, the moderator for tonight.
Okay, I'm just going to turn this off so that we don't start by blinding Maria and Eric.
Wow.
I know, now we're blinded.
We've got a nice little question. So what we're going to try and do is crack through these and get as many done as possible. So Rachel's going to do some fairly effective timekeeping, and I think the speakers might be grateful for it anyway, because it'll keep you fresh and so on. What we said we'd do is give each of you 3 minutes to start off with, just to quickly summarise where you're coming from in the if in the event that you get elected or re-elected, as the case may be. And so I'll start with Councillor Barnes, whose name begins with B as opposed to G, which comes later in the alphabet. And you might want to think, while you're just chatting about this, a couple of questions, and these are two that have come along. One is, what do you think are the most useful skills you bring to the role of councillor? And the other one is, what goals would you like to achieve during your time as councillor? So if you want to, and it's tough responding cold to these, but they're sufficiently general perhaps for you to talk about your background and what you would like to achieve in the second. Do you mind if we start with
that? Yeah, that's fine. So what do I bring? What was that
first? Yeah, what are the skills that you think are the most useful ones you have that you bring to the role of councillor? And alongside that,
One at a time. Okay, so I think my skills would be that I work with a lot of people, both ends, whether developers or neighborhoods. The relationships I've built with the city people, that I can go to them and ask for help on issues that we're having. So I'm able to work with other counselors, a lot of people, and that's a good thing for us, that we need that communication and ability to work with others. So that's what I think that I can bring here. And the second half of that?
Second question is, what main goal or goals would you like to achieve during, in your case, the second period?
Get some things that we've been working on for a long time finalized, implemented. It took us a very long time to get the LUA study finalized, and it shouldn't take that long. We have form-based codes. We have other issues in neighborhoods when it comes to infill that we need to work on. The comprehensive plan, I want to make sure we get that started and almost done before I have to leave for the next 2 years. So those are the kind of things that are important to me that I get finished.
Great. Eric, you want to?
Well, thank you.
do you want me to repeat the question to you?
No, I haven't. I'd like to thank you all for having us this evening. It's a wonderful group. I think that what the Pearl District has been able to achieve is magnificent, and I really applaud everyone's efforts in that. It is a model for redevelopment in an urban setting, in my opinion. As far as useful skills, a little bit about me. I've been in the real estate business my entire life. Grew up playing with nail guns with my dad and, custom homes. Worked in an accounting office for a number of years. I have the ability to analyze numbers, analyze financial statements, and to negotiate with a wide variety of people, having been in and around the real estate community in many capacities, not only as a portfolio manager, but as you know, just sales. Currently, I'm a real estate consultant. Goals, for me, the single biggest issue facing the city of Tulsa is something that's been in the news quite frequently, sometimes in a positive favor, sometimes in a negative favor, but the single biggest issue is streets. In District 4, in my opinion, and I'm digging through the vast piles of data to compile this, but Eric Gomez, selling real estate throughout the town, I believe District 4 has the worst streets in Tulsa. This one, when you head towards TU, is a very fine example of that. And that is going to be my...
Yes.
Well, as it changes over there. But as we go forward, I think that is going to be crucial to seeing economic development and redevelopment in the city. Another goal of mine, we have, we're about to complete several tens of millions of dollars. I think it's, you know, somewhere close to over $300 million of Vision 2025 money that is being spent in the interdispersal loop. And I believe that my business background and my negotiating and, you know, just playing my overall skill set is going to help me work with people to, now that we have invested our public dollars, to attract private dollars into the interdispersal loop. And I think that's going to be a key component of seeing the city move forward and grow and become America's most beautiful city again.
Okay, I'm gonna alternate the way we ask the question. So this one's gonna go straight to Eric again. Eric, your background is in real estate as builder and I think realtor. Both groups are focused on low density sprawl, which has been economically and environmentally damaging for Tulsa. What strategies do you think we should pursue to address these issues?
Well, in my opinion, we have, I enjoy an urban setting, okay? Many in Oklahoma do not like an urban setting. You know, we started out giving land away here in this state, and people like large yards. I don't want to see us take away the ability of developers to develop tracts of land. However, we need to be much more smart and take a look at the impacts that those developments have, not only in this, with regards to, you know, the various economic and social factors, but what it does to our city budget. I mean, our city coffers have been one of the reasons why our streets in District 4 are in such bad shape is we've been paving the way for South Tulsa to be developed. Okay, and you know, I'm not advocating stopping new development, but in the urban areas that are close to and in the downtown area, I believe that higher density is the key for many reasons. Because you know, when you have a higher density, you typically have a lot more pedestrians. You typically have, quite frankly, in my opinion, better quality of life. But you know, the marketplace will ultimately dictate that, in my opinion, as well. But you know, so for me personally, when as we redevelop our downtown and midtown areas, I believe higher density is better.
Okay. All right, Maria, very related question, since that one addressed Eric's skills in particular as a or background as a builder and realtor. Eric talked about downtown. The Pearl District is next to downtown, and we see our future tied to downtown, or symbiotic with it perhaps. Given that District 4 includes downtown, what kind of downtown would you like to be representing in 4 years' time? What would you like it to look like perhaps in 4 or more years?
A downtown that has people on the streets day and night, things to do downtown all the time, and it's not for the tourists, but for us that live here. Whether it's a ballpark or this PAC, all those things that we have going on, we need to give more attention to those things and show that we support them. Have more living downtown, shops, restaurants, all those things. And I think right now we are at a good place that we see this happening and moving forward to redeveloping downtown.
Is there anything else you wanted to say about downtown, Eric, or can I move on to the next one?
No, yeah, that's fine.
Okay. This one's for Maria, since we'll switch it around again. On land use, this one is close to our hearts. Traditional walkable mixed-use urban neighbourhoods are illegal under zoning. INCOG has been very slow to deliver the form-based code pilot that the Bell District has been lobbying for a while, which has been approved by Mayor Taylor, and that will enable us to revitalise the neighbourhood. Can we count on your active support, and I will address this to both of you, of course, can we count on your active support in getting this through the council?
Yes.
In the event that you're re-elected?
We've talked about this many times here at the Pearl. It was approved through the mayor and myself and Susan Neal. We're trying to move this forward. Right now I'm just working with INCOG because of the funding. We're having a misunderstanding of where the funding is. I believe we have budgeted them $40,000 for this year to fund a pilot program, but it may not be enough to make it happen. So right now I'm working with Rich Greer and INCOG to see what we can do to move this forward and make it happen. So yes, very important.
Eric, is the same. Do you want me to read the question?
No, I think one answer will suffice. One word answer, yes.
Great. Okay. That was the right answer, by the way. Okay, moving on to Eric. Yes.
You're having trouble hearing.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Especially on the questions, since you're addressing them.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Maybe
yeah.
You want to stand or something
okay,
when
I'll
you
start,
read
I'll start
the question.
Doing that. Yes, I'll stand up. I'll choose one of general interest. Whose turn is it?
Ask
Eric.
Jamie. Ask if anyone wants anything repeated.
Yeah, if you want me to repeat a question, just call out.
If they have a question, they've gone over already.
Well, they've already answered.
It's me. I'm too soft-spoken.
Oh, right. Why don't we just move on? Has anybody got a major issue with any of the questions that we've asked so far? No? Nobody's leaping up in disarray or anything. Eric, do you support the city adopting neighbourhood conservation districts?
I'll stand up.
Can I sit down now?
Yes. Yes, you may. Neighbourhood conservation districts are a tough issue, and I'll tell you why. Because in my opinion, I will not support anything that infringes on private property rights and is negative to property values. And that is all I'll say about that.
Okay. Shall I ask a slightly, do you want me to ask the same question?
Same question's good.
Okay, yeah. Okay. So what do you think of neighborhood conservation districts?
If you'll stand, Maria,
it'll
help.
This time I'll be real short. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to ask a related question of Maria initially. Many District 4 residents are concerned about inappropriate infill development, particularly homes that are out of scale with existing development. Is it appropriate for government to regulate this in any way, or should it be left entirely to the free market? It gives an opportunity to perhaps expand on what you said. Would you like me to read that again, by the way? Anybody at the back?
Yeah. That's good. I think it should be left up to the neighborhoods, to the areas that are being affected by these type of developments. You decide what you want. That's what I'd say.
Eric, you might want to address a bit of that.
Sure.
Particularly, is it appropriate for government to regulate this in any way, or should it be left entirely to the free market?
Well, the question about whether it's appropriate is for government to regulate it is that's already the case. We already regulate what can be built, although it might not be what everyone would like to be built. We already regulate through our current zoning ordinances and land use policies, I believe a combination of both is the course. But again, I will reiterate that I believe there has to be common ground that meets that fine line that does not infringe on private property rights and does not is not detrimental and cause stagnation within the neighborhood. I like old architecture. Okay, I have invested lots of dollars in older architecture, and I would like to see those architectural pieces of property that are able to be rebuilt, refurbished. I'd like to see that happen. However, there are many cases where a property actually just becomes functionally obsolete. Okay, the cost to renovate it far outweighs the value of the property. The value of the property will ever have. And so, a combination of both government and the marketplace, I believe, is the solution.
Another quick question on this, because I know there's some real interest in this area. Eric, again, I think it's your turn. If we're reversing the process, is that right?
I believe it is.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Covenants have been touted as an alternative to conservation districts. The city does not recognize covenants, since they are a civil document, apparently. If a builder challenges a neighborhood's covenants, who will pay the tens of thousands of dollars for a neighborhood to enforce those covenants?
It's my understanding that since it's a civil matter, the neighborhoods bear the cost of that.
Do you want to comment on that?
That's correct.
Okay, I'm going to change tack now. Maybe we'll come back to that later. We'll see. Councillor Barnes, Maria, what are your thoughts on the role and development of mass transit in Tulsa in the future?
I think it's needed, and I think it will be coming soon, as Councillor Westcott has been addressing this since he's been in office, and he's gone to some seminars in other places and states to learn more about it. He's pushing it, and he has the support of the council right now to help him push that forward. Mm-hmm. So it's coming.
Well, mass transit, we have the bus stations and the bus system that, in my opinion, is inadequate. Mass transit with regard to bringing people to downtown is something that, although I would like to see, us have a nice mass transit system, I don't think it's economically viable for our particular city, given our current expanse. Most cities that have large mass transit systems, you could fit four or five of those cities inside our city limits. And I think that's something that must be considered.
Okay, another question for you, Eric. I think it's your turn to start first this time. Much of public works investment seems to be focused on widening roads in South Tulsa at the expense of fixing sidewalks in the inner city. Do you think this is right, if you think it's true? And if not, how would you go about changing public works' priorities?
Sure. Yes, I do believe that's true. I think we have neglected our older parts of town with respect to an expanse of southern Tulsa. And I don't want to be, because as a councilor, obviously you do represent the entire city, not just your district. I don't want to get into a war of, well, we're going to spend money and we're going to spend more money and we're going to rob from South Tulsa. I don't want to ever get into that particular scenario. However, we have been neglected here in the older parts of town as we expand roads and have the developments that have moved out. And, one of the things that happened, many, many decades ago is that we wanted to be a developer-friendly city. And that is probably one of the single biggest reasons why that has been our policy for so many years, is because we wanted developers. Well, and we took away all impact fees. And we didn't account for what these neighborhoods were going to do to us financially 40 years down the road, 45 years down the road. And so and going forward, I support, and again, we'll work fervently to implement a comprehensive maintenance and street repair program. And I'll further say that I believe as we go forward with that, we need to take a look at the kinds of streets we're building. I would like to see walkable for everybody, walkable streets in all parts of town, so that you know people do choose to do so. They can ride a bike, they can walk, they can choose any means they would like.
Councilor, what do you think?
I think new development coming in should put sidewalks in. That's very important. We should have those. And here's, I'll give you an example of something that happened recently. Right now we've been working on our streets, a committee, trying to figure out how we're going to get this to happen and fund it, finding the money. And recently there was a case out in Bill Christensen's district, I think it's 8, where the Target's going to come in, and they're going to come in only if the city will widen 101st and Memorial. Well, that is not on the books as far as I know. So when I asked Mr. Hart, if it works, what happened there? He said, well, the developer came to me and said, Target's only going to come if we widen the street for them, or they'll go to Bixby. Well, see, that's where we got to stop doing that. I understand we need development, but again, we're trying really hard right now to look at the funding and get our streets repaired. So we've got to stop doing that for a little bit, come back here, get our streets done. And I think the developers should put some money in to do those widenings if it's that important to them. So I think I've said this many times, we've got to come back here and look on our streets.
Kind of following on that, and you both referred to developers, Councillor Barnes, the question here, hasn't becoming a developer-friendly city caused some of the problems we are experiencing today? Did you all hear that? Yeah, okay. I'll repeat the question, and if you don't have to answer it.
Well, I don't think so. I think, though, if we put some guidelines in place for the developers to know when they're coming in, this is what's going to be expected of you, then we wouldn't have some of the problems that we have. So I don't think we've been too friendly to developers. We just need to be more conscious about what we're doing with developers.
More responsible.
Yes.
I believe that, you know, previously, being a developer-friendly city absolutely has helped us get into the position we're in. I don't want to be a not developer-friendly city because I want people to invest their dollars here. By the same token, we also have to be strategic. I agree that because we are having sales tax loss at an alarming rate, okay? So having a Super Target at 101st and Memorial is a strategic move on our part, so that those sales tax dollars won't go 2 miles down the road to Bixby. And, if Charles Hart can work his numbers to get that done, then, as a strategic move, we did the Tulsa Hills for that. Someday there is going to be a bridge in South Tulsa, and thanks to the state Supreme Court, we will have a say in it. We will be able to say how that bridge and where that bridge and when that bridge gets built. Looking forward, we need to reposition ourselves so that if they want to develop south of the river, we want to develop commercial north of the river so that we get the sales tax dollars out of those other municipalities, not the other way around.
Can I just follow up that with a subsequent question? You referred to impact fees earlier. Mm-hmm. Would you like to first very briefly explain what they are and what your position is on that? It's an interesting question, whether you think the developers should pay impact fees.
Sure. Well, when a developer provides a municipality with a plan for a subdivision, they come back to the developer and say, okay, we like what you're doing, and this is what the impact to the municipality is going to be. And I may not get it right in the 2 minutes, but and basically an impact fee is a share in the cost that the municipality imposes on the developer to share the cost of what the impact is going to be whenever you have a 500-track home, and now all of a sudden you have 1,400 more cars that go in and out of that neighborhood on a daily basis. You know, the streets need to be widened. You have sewage and water and all kinds of expenses that go into a development, and an impact fee just shares the cost with the developer and the municipality.
Shall I move on to another question? Okay, Maria. The Elm Creek Basin Project is the last of Tulsa's major floodplains to be addressed, and the implementation of it is critical to the economic revitalization of our neighborhood. Will you actively support our... We'll ask both of you this question. Will you actively support our efforts to get it implemented? Now, I should say, for those of you who may not be familiar with this, it's not a cheap project. It's going to cost a fair amount of money, just as all of the other stormwater detention projects have cost a fair amount of money because they're big and they're sizable and they're about public safety. And the issue in the Pearl District has been that it never justified it in terms of investment. It was never, the benefit never justified the cost to the taxpayer, in other words, to the city. Now it probably does. And it's of great interest to us as a neighbourhood because we're trying to leverage it to revitalise our neighbourhood. So the question again, how do you feel about supporting our efforts to get this, get the plan implemented?
I have supported it and I still support it, so yes.
I can be very brief as well, but yes, I will support it if we're victorious. I think it. I agree. I believe it is vital to the revitalization of this area, and not just the immediate area of the Pearl District, but the entire area from downtown to the University of Tulsa, 11th Street to 244.
All right, moving on, staying with Eric. There's a question here, going back to downtown. I mean, the baseball stadium is the ballpark is a another topical issue at the moment. I don't know how controversial it is, but somebody has said here, how to pay for street improvements, such as through utility rate increases or bonds or not, and then a kind of follow-up question, which is a bit cheeky, but how do we wrestle with the idea of perhaps paying as taxpayers or contributing towards the cost of a baseball field? How does, you know, it's a big project, it's going to cost a lot of money. Maybe I should rephrase it. How do you feel about, should I be pointing at Eric now?
I think so.
Yeah. How do you feel about the idea of, just emotionally about the idea of a downtown ballpark? And have you got any thoughts on how it might be co-funded by the taxpayer or not? Do you have a point of view on it?
I feel wonderful about having a downtown ballpark, if we can make that happen, bless you. We have I think it's a good opportunity to be a catalyst. Given the magnitude of the other, in my opinion, enormous expenses, it is hard for me to justify supporting public dollars with a downtown ballpark. But, you know, I would absolutely like to see us have a downtown ballpark and, you know, leverage that ballpark as something that will be a catalyst for, you know, mixed-use, high-density shops and mixed-use, high-density development in and around it. But as far as public dollars, right now, given the magnitude of, you know, the streets alone, you know, $1.6 billion, I think that is a it's hard for me to justify more public dollars for that project.
What do you think? What are your thoughts?
The drillers need to come downtown. They're going to leave the fairgrounds, so we have to make a decision if we want them going to Jinx or somewhere else or downtown, and I want them downtown. And to me, that's part of that puzzle that we're trying to finish for downtown, is having the ballpark there. I don't want to see us raise taxes to pay for it, and we are looking at other ways of trying to fund this, but if it does come to a tax then the people will vote on that, and they'll decide what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay, staying with Councillor Barnes. The Pearl District Association has committed to supporting sustainable initiatives in our neighbourhood. What are your thoughts on sustainability? And perhaps I should add that sustainability is a bit like motherhood. You know, it's difficult to be against it, and it can mean a whole raft of things. But what kind of role do you see sustainability playing in the future development strategy for the city at whatever level appeals to, you know, that occurs to you?
I think it plays an important role, and especially in District 4. And I've always been very supportive of sustainability. And the farmer's market, all those things that we're trying to do here, I've been behind it 100%. So I do support that.
Well, I think sustainability goes to an overall lifestyle, okay? It goes to an overall position on how you, you know, what you do in your daily lives, okay? Me personally, I recycle about 5 tubs every other week. I throw about 1 trash can maybe every other week. And so, I rode my bike about 5,800 miles last year. Raised $180,000 in the last 2 years for MS Research doing it. But sustainability, there are things we can do as municipalities to foster sustainable lifestyle habits. And without imposing radical lifestyle changes on people and neighborhoods, I support sustainable developments. I support. Bottom line is, we only got one world, and regardless of your politics, it's going to be a better place if we do things like that and recycle, compost.
Okay, same with you, Eric. A blunt question here. Would you reinstate INCOG's contract on July the 1st? Now, INCOG has long been in charge of planning, as probably everybody in this audience knows, for the city of Tulsa. And maybe this question, I'm not sure what the questioner is getting at, but, well, it's pretty obvious what they're getting at, but... what I mean is, maybe there are some more sophisticated underlying issues here. But one, as opposed to, oh yes, let's fire them, maybe this is about the planning for the city of Tulsa as opposed to planning regionally, and perhaps it's asking the question, is INCOG dedicated to delivering the right to planning for an urban environment, to a city environment that perhaps, this is Maria's question, I beg your pardon, Maria, I should be addressing you first in this question. What do you think? Having had lunch with Rich Freer yesterday, should we fire him in a couple of months?
No. yes, I think we would renew that contract. And again, Rich Freer is a new director, and I see changes coming up with the INCOG. I think some things will be coming that will change, that will be better for our town, our district, and I think it'll be some changes that will be good. So I want to work with INCOG to see what we can do.
Would you care to expand on those prospective changes?
He understands that it hasn't worked for us here, the INCOG, their planning. With Farron and other planners that are on the other side, those are really the planners that we need to be working with and working in our city here. I don't believe INCOG has the right people to do that. And I think maybe they're figuring that out too, that they need to step out and let others do the planning. So that's why I think there'll be some changes that'll be good.
Okay. Eric, what are your thoughts on this?
I don't think we can fire INCOG in July. I think that would be all for looking at alternative ways and alternative thoughts as Councillor Barnes said, trying to work within the system, but I think that the unintended consequences would be, I don't see another, first of all, I don't think that we could do that and still function, whether the functionality is what we would like to see. without having, I don't think there's time to come up with an alternative plan to NCOG between now and then. Not an effective plan. You know, and you know, one of the things that you have to do with legislation, in my opinion, is look at, okay, what is this going to do? What is the unintended consequence going to be? And you know, to rush to that, saying we're not going to renew the contract, I think we would be in a rush situation where there would be many different variables that we wouldn't be able to adequately address.
I think I missed Maria on an earlier question, so I'm going to start this next round, if I may, with this next question with Maria. This question says, our area is riddled with dilapidated and many abandoned houses. I think they're referring to the Pearl District. Many of them are owned by absentee landlords. How would you address this nagging problem? Now, what I'd like to, the spin I'd like to add to this question is, and it's something that we've been talking about in the Pearl District, and it probably applies to every other district in the town to a greater or lesser extent, but it begs the question of code enforcement and maybe the city's engagement with code enforcement strategy. Would you like to, you know, and so a dilapidated absentee landlord slum houses is one manifestation perhaps of that. Do you want to address that?
And that is an issue for a lot of neighborhoods, and when I came into office, there was no office for neighborhoods. And the mayor made some changes and had this wind department that was going to take care of a lot of our problems and address them and make sure they were taken care of. But then that's changed again. So it's in transition. So now we're waiting for someone else to take over and follow through. So with Dwayne Smith and Kevin Cox and those inspectors, they really are trying to move this forward. But their hands keep... are tied at some of these issues, and they're trying to, I guess they're waiting to see what the mayor's going to do next with that department, who's going to be in charge and how it's going to run.
So it doesn't sound as if it's been very effective.
No, it hasn't. No.
Okay, so it's, might one assume, if you don't mind just probing this briefly, that they could have worked harder, or they could be, to what degree do you think it's testimony to the administration's genuine interest in neighborhoods? As we know, councillors hold the interest of neighborhoods.
They are very interested, but what happened is people have moved, things have happened within those departments that it had to make some changes. So that's why it hasn't been effective yet. And I think, again, they're looking at who can run it and be very forceful with it and make sure these things do get taken care of.
Okay. What do you think, Eric? Which angle would you like to pick up on that?
I understand what Councilor Barnes is saying about the bureaucracy, but we can no longer have a wait-and-see attitude when it comes to code enforcement. It could be this time next year if we called somebody about a high grass complaint before it might never get mowed. When it comes to the city council, I think the city council can do some things immediately that would change the policies. And you touched on a very, very important aspect. It's the absentee landlords that I believe are causing 90% of the problems. And, you know, my plan is to, if a property does not qualify for homestead exemption and it is and we'll have to work through this, but we need to hit the absentee landlords in the pocketbook, and that is what is not happening right now. They might pay attention if it were costing them a little bit of money.
Okay. I think I'll stay with... and I'm just going to dart back in case some of the... quite a few of the people here may have come to talk about conservation. So I'm just going to dart back to a question that caught my eye, which is, doesn't all zoning infringe on property rights? And if so, why is the idea of a conservation district different from that? Why should it infringe why is it a further infringement on property rights that are already infringed by zoning?
Sure.
I don't know if you want to comment on that.
Well, and I will say, not all absentee landlords are bad. you know, just to kind of clarify.
Just the ones who aren't here, the ones who are absentees.
Sure, sure. Where are they? But, zoning, I mean, like we said earlier, we already regulate land use, okay? We already regulate what you can and cannot do with your property. Okay, well, when people buy a property, they look at what the policies are, they understand what the zoning is, and if that should change, there has to be and it's a fine line, I believe, between private property rights and zoning. And absent of covenants that are not easily enforceable, when you buy a property in an older neighborhood, I live in an older neighborhood, you do understand that these things may happen.
I'll put a different spin on it for Maria. Why do you think people want to live in older neighborhoods anyway? And I'm not thinking of ones that have been trashed with it, you know, the absentee landlord and the slum, that kind of thing, but let's say a mature neighborhood. What do you think makes people want to live in those neighborhoods? What attracts them to those neighborhoods?
Well, it depends on what you're looking at. Florence Park or Renaissance, all those neighborhoods are very unique. Have a look about them that you want to live there. Those are the neighborhoods that we want to be a part of. So going back a little bit, those zoning doesn't work, and that's the problem. So we have to change. We have to do something. And the Conservation District would help some neighborhoods with that. Zoning is not going to do it. And let me just say, I thought we were going to do this for 45 minutes.
Yeah, how long, what's the time, Christine? Anyone got the time?
But
either,
okay.
It is 10-2.
Okay, but I want you all to know that I have to go to another neighborhood meeting at 7. And I will be as long as I can, but I do have to be there for some questions they have. But in here, I just gave Jamie a copy, and I don't know if all of you received it. You may not be on my email list, but there's some, I'll say, mythbusters that I have put out about conservation. So I will leave those here with Jamie. There's 100 copies here. You can look at and see what conservation is about, what I'm looking at. But I'm not here to say conservation has taken away people's rights. There's so many things that have been said about conservation that it's just not true. But again, it's going to be up to you and your neighborhood if it's something you want to do. And it's not an ordinance yet. It's just still in the drafting to talk about stages. So I think people need to take a breath, slow down, and let's talk about it. And here's some questions and answers in this information I'll leave here for you all.
Have you got just about 3 or 4 more minutes,
sure,
or 5 minutes?
Sure.
Or, okay. Just give me a break. Give me a second or two. Eric, would you be willing to discuss changes in any ordinances? I think it says any ordinances regarding demolition. Actually, I can't read this question. I can't read the rest of the sentence, so I'm going to stop. And I'm not going to do that. I'll just talk among yourselves for a moment while I find something else that's they're all about neighborhood conservation. I'm trying to find something that just puts us. Eric, here's a challenging question. Why did you choose not to respond to the candidate surveys of preserve? I think it's related to the same subject, which is clearly going to be topical during the election run-up period. Why did you choose not to respond to the candidate surveys of Preserve Midtown, Tulsa Forum, I think it says, and the League of Women Voters?
The League of Women Voters questionnaire has been an issue that is, you know, quite frankly, I dropped the ball on. I had intended to give them my answers, and you know, among the 35 plus questionnaires that you receive, that one did not get filled out. Tulsa Preserve Midtown, the Preserve Midtown Coalition, I did not have that one filled out by their deadline, so I did not fill it out. Or I didn't have it filled in completely.
Can I ask a question of Maria, who I'm conscious may head off soon? Simple question. Are you an advocate for grassroots-based neighbourhood plans? Now, I kind of know the answer is Yes, but the reason I ask it is in the context of the comprehensive plan, which I think I understand is going to be, or we understand is going to be centred on neighbourhoods, which hopefully includes businesses as well as residents and so on. Do you want to comment, would you like to comment on the process of the comprehensive plan as you see it unfolding? And what specific role do you see the neighbourhoods playing in that?
The neighbourhoods play a very big part in that, because it's about your neighbourhood, your city, the comprehensive plan, how it affects you. So when that time comes, and as I found out today, we are now going to be finished up the negotiation with the contract for the person that we're going to hire to do this. It's going to be very important that they come out to the neighborhoods and that you all come out as well to give your opinion, inputs, ideas, suggestions, whatever, to this comprehensive plan. I'm very much in favor of neighborhoods plans, each one, like the Pearl has theirs, Brady Heights has theirs, Brookside, Kendall Whittier, because every neighborhood is unique and they have issues that they want to take care of and address. It's not a big plan that fits everyone. It's everyone has their own issues that they want to take care of. So I'm very much in favor. I would love every neighborhood to have their own plan, make it much easier for them to get things done and be protected as well. So I do favor those things.
Great. Eric, what were your thoughts on neighborhood planning, perhaps in the context of the comprehensive plan?
I also believe that it has a vitally important role in the comprehensive plan. Both of us have been neighborhood leaders for well over a decade, and we know what the impact a well-organized neighborhood association can have with respect to representation with the city. And as we move forward with the comprehensive plan, I think that it's going to play a vitally important role.
Okay. Well, we're getting close to, I can see that Maria's beginning to get a bit fidgety because she has to be with another neighbourhood group in a matter of about 5 minutes ago. So, and it's about 5:02.
I'm always late because I leave meeting to go to theirs, so they expect me to be late.
Why don't you allow for a quick closing statement by each of them? And just in case Maria has to scoot out of the door, is there any closing observations you want to make, Maria, either about anything, basically, that you'd like to... that occurs to you to say, either about this kind of forum or about the process that we're going through now?
I think these forums are great for you all to come out and ask the questions and know where we stand. But for me, I feel like you all know where I stand. I've been here in this district for a very long time, and I've worked with neighborhoods for a long time, and that's important to me for development and for homeowners, everybody to be able to work together. So I feel like you already know me, a lot of you, because I see you here every month and other times. But I'm here for you, and that's what I've been doing for a long time. Thank you.
Very much indeed. Do you want to make any closing remarks? I'm conscious, by the way, that we've talked a lot about development issues, because the questions have been about development issues, neighbourhood conservation issues, those sorts of things. We haven't talked about education, over which you would not be exercising much control as councillors, or about poverty, or about crime, or about any of those whole raft of social issues have been conspicuous by their absence from the questions, and we're just sitting here writing, forwarding the questions as they've been presented. But are there any other thoughts on issues that are not so concerned with the real estate industry, development, land use, and so on that you lie awake worrying about at night?
Well, many things I lie about.
In one minute.
Where do we start? The reason why I'm in this race, I've got two young kids. I want to see Tulsa back where we used to be as America's most beautiful city. And I think that given my background with, a wide variety of skill sets to draw upon, that I believe that I would do very well for all of the neighbors, all of my neighbors. I mean, Marie's my neighbor. We live five blocks away. And I think I'd do very well for all of District 4.
And one follow-up question. Where would, if you had been councillor, where would you have stood on HB 1804 on immigration?
On immigration?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that... HB 1804 was a city issue. However, generally speaking, that I would like to. There's so many components that the federal government has left us as states and municipalities to deal with this issue. You know, they have not taken the lead in that. It's a very, very heated issue. I think that some of the rhetoric about I've heard some people say that we want to know everybody that gets pulled over the immigration status. Well, I don't think so. If you've got we do give driver's licenses to pretty much everybody. But if somebody's arrested, yes, absolutely. We want to know, we want to know about that. I think that 1804 is the law of the land here in the state of Oklahoma, pending the numerous legal challenges that are going to continue to come, I believe. But, that is the mandate that's been given us from the state. And, I think there are bigger issues for us as a local municipality to deal with, with respect to crime, and respect to our streets, and respect to, flood control issues. That is not something that, I'm probably going to concern myself with.
Okay. Do you want to comment on that, Marie, before we leave, or you don't have to?
I think people know where I stand on that. So.
Right. Yes. Great. Well, I think that's probably, I don't see any people screaming from the back to demanding to ask more questions, although Teddy wants to say something.
I have a question for Mr. Gomez, and this is sort of
And by the way, this is just a wrap up breaking of the rules, okay?
Just, yeah. I couldn't figure out a phrase. So, you talked about wanting to be part of the team and move the city forward and economic development, and you mentioned the bridge and Baumgartner's Target out there and their first memorial, and that those things will bring in tax dollars. But how do you reconcile the need for these tax dollars? Being council in this district is like being the parent of a kind of a special needs kid. We're different than any other district in
sure.
the city. We got all these issues and problems, and putting money in it towards our problems will not necessarily move the city forward economically in the short term.
Mm-hmm.
So how are you going to balance that? You want to play with the team, but yet, I don't hear anything that says you're going to be an advocate for our special needs.
Well,
as opposed to the needs of the many, which I understand
sure.
you have to deal with.
Well, I will be an advocate for flooding, to take care of the Elm Creek flood control.
That's pretty big, by the way.
That is a huge catalyst. I am absolutely an advocate for creating an environment where people want to invest private dollars in their downtown, which is right across that highway from the Pearl District. Less than a mile from here, I believe, maybe slightly over a mile. So what happens here affects me just as equally as it affects you, almost. I don't live in the immediate area, but it's pretty darn close. And, the state of Oklahoma. We need somebody who is going to be in charge and contacting the state about the abysmal conditions. Four or five of the seven major highways run through District 4 that come through Tulsa. You don't have 169 and you don't have I-44, but you've got Highway 64, you've got 51, you've got 75, 244, and maybe it's only four, but 244, yes, thank you. The IDL is about like driving on a Tulsa public street. And, so we need somebody who is going to be an advocate with the state as well. And quite frankly, if you just drive down the BA, it looks like a trash collection zone. And that is a huge need. You drive around Oklahoma City, it doesn't look like that. Not that I have Oklahoma City in view or anything, but downtown, we need an ordinance to put an end to what's going on after 2 a.m. So my goal is to create an economically viable.
Sorry, Aaron.
No problem.
For interrupting. We shouldn't have broken the rules there.
I'm sorry. I thought we were
breaking the rules. That's right. Yeah, we would have. We should have done it formally first. But Maria has to go.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you, everybody.
We appreciate it. And please.
April 1st.
No worries.
You got, at least you have 10 minutes. I was too soft.
Teddy, I should have... Well, yeah, you know, I understand. It's multi-pronged.
It's an education. Because we're kind of a, you know, whatever.